you take me to Chunky Town? Won't you take me to Chunky Town? We are back. It's the Visual Tax Podcast, aka the Chunky Podcast.
Yay! I always wonder how the Chunky Town song blends in with the jingle. Probably it's probably magic.
I think that we need to pay our audio engineer a little bit more, and by that I mean more than zero in order to
We actually have to pay him.
Yeah. No, I definitely.
Oh my god. The jingle though really took us to the next level, I think.
I know. Yeah. And the, I don't know. For me, the marijuana, that was the other thing.
That is, that I think that does make a big difference. Yes. And yes. I am not high currently, but I can vouch for the power of
pot.
Pot, yeah. Yeah. We are here to discuss Love, Simon, and whether we love Simon or we love Love, Simon.
Oh my god. We both loved it. Yes. I'd like to comment, and I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, that I've been referring to it as I, Simon, in my brain and to other people.
Because of my robot.
Exactly.
So I was joking, love robot.
So, yeah, I finally saw it today, and I really, really liked it.
It has been a minute for me, but I think it has left, I would say, a really sort of, like, strong impression in terms of, like, it was just so pleasant to just sit through as a movie about, like, I guess, teenagers falling in love, and then as a movie about a gay teenager coming out and finding a romantic connection, which is, in 2018, something new that we've never seen before, basically. Right. Yeah.
It made me feel really good. I mean, I was stressed out at different points in the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an important step in terms of taking that high school coming of age, not coming of age, but I don't really know what it is, high school movie trope, and just like, you know, making it about a gay person. It's important.
Yeah, and I think coming of age does apply in
it does. That sense. I just like didn't know how to label this movie in terms of genre.
It is, I think, like a teen dramedy slash coming of age sort of movie. What I really liked is that to me it felt necessary and in a way sort of like entirely justified because the main character is gay. I think I would have felt comfortable sort of like completely like bypassing this movie had it been yet another sort of like straight teen movie slash coming of age story, as pleasant as it is. But the fact that the character is gay, is queer, just made it so much more worthwhile in a way.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's not like we're going to go see this type of movie if it doesn't have. Yeah, I don't think it would be a worthwhile movie at all if not for the queer aspect of it.
It is, I think, but it's funny to think, though, because I guess the deliberate choice to make the protagonist queer or gay completely reframe the movie's worthiness in a way. Just like, even like, it's kind of reason of to exist.
Raison d'être.
Raison d'être. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, though. Like, it's really contingent upon telling the same exact story that we've seen a bunch of times in similar movies, with this new sort of like filter or lens that makes it feel so fresh and so kind of exciting, at least for someone who's gay or queer, or who's actually going to the movies to see this sort of movie for the first time.
Also, it was really funny.
It was funny. It was well written. It is, I think, to its credit, sort of like in many ways inserting itself in this tradition of like John Hughes sort of like teen coming of age stories, but I think not in a way that felt lazy or sort of like unnecessary. It was well written. It was funny. There was like real work put into creating like well-rounded characters. And then obviously the gay angle really reframed sort of like this subgenre in and of itself.
The gangle?
The gangle. The gay angle. Yes. That is not a good word. Gangle. Gangle does not sound good. No. No.
It sounds like a really bad orgy.
It sounds like a disease of like the foot. Like I have a really bad gangle on my heel.
Oh my god.
Like yeah, right?
Yeah, we can't date any now if it's over.
No, it all ended because of my gangle. Yeah, it sounds terrible. But we should keep trying to make new words happen. I feel like we'll eventually like strike gold and we'll like really yeah.
No, I'm big on that. In terms of creating new words, I'm very proactive in that community, so.
Yeah. The community of creating like portmanteaus and acronyms and yeah.
The community of serial killers that also create new words on the side.
That's a good mix. But what were we saying about gangle? Oh, the gay angle. Yeah, the gay angle does matter a lot. I think what I really appreciated coming out of this film, which we said like is a perfectly pleasant, well-written coming-of-age story, is really how impactful it was in terms of audience response. I was on Twitter looking at stories under the hashtag of people that were sort of like inspired to come out after watching this movie, or came out while watching this movie, or had coming out conversations with their parents as a result of this film. And it has been like I think really overwhelmingly positive, as I think a catalyst for these sort of like conversations to happen, which is incredibly important for I think for kids of that age, teenagers, to have this movie speak to them and tell them that, you know, you're being seen, you exist, you matter, and this is a story that we're telling that is about you.
Yeah, I think it's super important, and I'm just thankful this movie got made, you know. Because it's like, yes. I think it's important, we've talked about this before, in terms of like wanting to write like a, you know, like a gay romantic comedy about planning a gay wedding or something like that. In that, yeah, it's super important when the queer community is allowed to, not allowed, but is, I mean, allowed, I guess. These movies have to get, you know, produced and stuff, but.
Yeah, they have to get funded, yeah.
So. Yeah, is funded to be able to participate in like normal cinema.
It signifies, I think, a moment of acceptance, just forward movement in terms of like this story being told in a mainstream sort of Hollywood film. Not an independent one, not a foreign one, an actual mainstream production.
It's a different level of, I don't want to call it acceptance because, you know, everything in Hollywood and in capitalism is about, you know, it's a calculation about
the capital.
Profit. But
yeah.
Still, I feel like the ability of like queer films to propagate into archetypal and sort of quote unquote typical genres of film to be really important.
It represents an additional sort of piece of the puzzle, or like a new tassel in this sort of like, I think, reframing of queer cinema that has been happening, where now that Moonlight has won the Oscar, I think studios and producers see opportunity in these stories, see opportunity to obviously make money, which is really at the core of why movies get made, but also like financing screenplays getting written about queer people, about queer characters, about queer stories. And do they get the same budget as Star Wars? No, but they get made by major studios. They get distributed all across the country, and they do make a difference. And that's really the power of, as I said, something like Moonlight winning the Oscar for Best Picture and kind of like opening that door a little bit. I think it is I think it is a direct product of that. And to have then this year at the Oscars another queer movie nominated, it is, I think, something that I see as very positive and encouraging.
In terms of queer cinema's relationship with the Oscars, has there ever been a contender that was a quote-unquote queer movie besides Moonlight?
So the only one that I can think of would be Midnight Cowboy that actually won the Oscar in the 70s. But that was actually an X-rated film, if I remember correctly, explicit in, I guess, at that point, a depiction of sexuality on screen, and also queer sexuality on screen, because it is about a sex worker. I don't think, though, that the main character is queer, as in terms of identifies as queer. And even the relationship between the two main characters, who are two men, is, I think, more comfortably framed as a friendship than anything else. But I think, would I sort of like, I don't know, consider it a queer-themed film? Why not? I don't think, though, that it is comparable to something like Moonlight winning the Oscar for Best Picture. But that's the only title I can think of. Yeah, that's literally the only title I can think of before Moonlight of a movie with queer sort of like undertones making such a big impact beyond the screenplay categories, making such a big impact on the Oscar race. And now it's happened 2 years in a row. So I feel like there's definitely a new awareness of these stories, not just like being told, but also being profitable and being worth investing into. Yeah.
Isn't it kind of a paradox that like films that drive the culture and public awareness forward only get made because there's like profit involved in them?
I think it is, as everything else, a reflection of our capitalist economy. Where there's money to be made, people will sort of like try to capitalize their opportunities. I am okay in terms of what it means that now there is money to be made from telling queer stories. There's opportunity in mainstream Hollywood film to tell these stories and to make these movies. And yes, for profit, but then I think I care more about what they actually mean for the audience that goes, and maybe it is an opportunity for reflection. It is an opportunity for queer kids to feel like they exist, that their stories are worth telling. Because cinema is in many ways a reflection of our life, of reality. So in a sense, if these stories aren't being told, if these characters aren't being created, it speaks to a lack of representation. It's sort of like standing in front of a mirror and seeing no reflection in return. And now we start seeing those reflections back, and they are telling stories that are important, and they're telling stories that we can identify with. And they're telling stories that I think are universally relatable, which is what makes them marketable. It's sort of like what we're talking about, where we're talking about Call Me By Your Name a little bit, in terms of like queer cinema I think has always been sort of like its own niche, but now it is becoming something that is reaching a much larger audience.
Yeah, I just think that it's ironic that like capitalism basically like it's all about profit in the end. And maybe the system isn't even aware that it like is moving things forward because it's all about profit. But I just think it's interesting that system ends up producing like films and just pieces of art in general that actually drive society forward.
Yeah, I think it is probably more, I think, worthwhile to focus on the actual result than the driving force behind it. Regardless of how we feel about capitalism, I think for this to happen, I definitely see good in it. I see why it matters, and I see why it's important. I just am looking forward to more mainstream sort of like approachable narratives about queer people. Selfishly, as a queer person who has felt denied for a long, long time of that, I think 20 years ago, watching something like Love Simon with my parents would have made things a lot easier in terms of like unpacking what was going on at that point in my life. And I'm glad that there are kids that are going to be able to take advantage of that, already have or will be able to take advantage of that. Because one thing is, yeah, Moonlight or Call Me by Your Name, which are sort of like independent, smaller studios, as opposed to something like this, which is on basically every other screen in multiplex theaters across the US. It does visibility and accessibility do make a big difference in terms of like not having to sit to seek the movie out, but having it like handy at the theater in your neighborhood. It does make a big difference.
Can you talk a little bit more about the difference that it's making in terms of these stories about, kids coming out as a result of this movie, or
I
just
mean,
finding the empowerment to do that?
the two sort of like things that I've noticed is, well, first of all, reactions to really this movie existing in terms of kids feeling represented and seen for the first time. Going to a movie to like see a story about someone your age dealing with the same things you're dealing with, coming out, your first crush, I guess how to navigate family life and friendship sort of dynamics and structures as someone who's trying to figure out how to really be themselves. And then also I think the fact that in a way this movie has worked for a lot of kids as sort of like the catalyst to initiate a conversation with their own parents, with their own families about being queer, being gay, and sort of like working to, I guess, open up that door and doing some of the emotional labor for a kid trying to like sit down with their parents to talk to them about being gay or being queer. Also because it is such a joyous representation of, I guess, what it means to be gay, what it means to be queer. Not to say that it's sort of the movie sort of like skirts over like some of the hardships, because the whole subplot with the guy that outs Simon for me was very hard to sit through.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Very, 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 very hard to sit through for something of that magnitude to be taken away from you in such a violent and unfair way. I did, however, appreciate how generally sort of supportive mostly everybody was at the school, like I guess the authority figures that we see working in the high school that are either trying their best or really being actively supportive of Simon, which is important to see, important to sort of like show these stories and show authority figures that will back you up, that will have your back, that will fight for you and make sure that you're safe, that you feel heard, and you feel, because it is something that a lot of people just cannot take for granted. Coming out in school for a lot of kids means probably alienating a good chunk of the student body, but also sometimes means not really being able to rely on sort of like the power structures in school to have your back. You don't really know. You don't really know to what extent you're going to be protected from abuse, from bullying, from all that stuff. So it is important to show kids that there are responsible adults in school that you can rely on, which I think this movie does really, really well.
I'm not sure if that's accurate, but hopefully it is.
It isn't accurate, and I don't think this movie should be taken as an accurate depiction of what it means to come out. It
Oh,
is
absolutely not.
still, yeah, no, we're still in 2018 at a place where a lot of kids cannot really afford to come out of their own physical safety to their families or to their communities or neighborhoods or their school. There are kids that have to stay in the closet because it's just not safe for them to come out. I think it is important that this movie shows that there is a way. There is a way, there's visibility, there's opportunity, and there's hope. And even for kids who cannot afford to come out, I think it's important to have something like this film to go to as an hour and a half of just pure escapism in a way, to fantasize about what life could be. It is, I think, important to have that outlet to not feel completely defeated.
Was there a point in your life where you felt defeated about your sexuality?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was a, I think it is relatable for all like gay, queer people to have when things just sort of start coming to a head, and maybe not everybody, but I would imagine a lot of people feel like, I don't know, I can never come out with this, and I'll never be able to really tell anybody what's happening with me, to how to tell my parents, how to be out as a person. These are things that you have to contend with. And so I think at some point, sometimes you feel like you have to resign to just being closeted and that's going to be your life. And I think over time with emotional work, emotional labor and support, you're able to sort of like overcome that. But I think for a movie like this to exist, I think it does open sort of like a pathway, even just in terms of like summon up the courage to do it, or even just know that it is a possibility, or even if it isn't a possibility now, there will come a time where living as an out person in the open is possible.
Yeah, it's a stark contrast from, I guess, the end of Moonlight, right? And these very like depressing queer films that we're talking about in general, right? Which is the one that have been made previously.
Yeah, I thought the ending of Moonlight was, I mean, at least I chose to read in kind of like a hopeful, positive way.
It is, but it, you know, it's.
But everything that comes before is absolutely harrowing. It's almost
sad.
Yeah.
Like it's still very sad, I guess.
It is sad in the sense, the saddest line is actually towards the end where Sharon says, "I've only ever been intimate with you. No one else has ever touched me." Which I think really speaks to this idea of like shame and sort of like what it means to live like a closeted life where you don't really feel you even like deserve love or deserve affection. This movie, I think, it really sort of romanticizes a sort of like this idea of this individual struggle, the whole twist at the end about like who it is that's going to show up, and everything is very sort of like 80s rom-com. And I think it is, in a sense, a device that's been used so many times to tell like stories about like straight teenagers that it just felt so good to like sort of like co-opt it for once and then have this kid show up to tell Simon, it's me. Let's see what comes out of this. It felt, I don't know, it felt good. It felt nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kid is so cute. That's the other thing. It's like, yes. Yes, yeah. Simon.
Yeah, it's like, yes, you scored, Simon, yes. And I also appreciate that, first of all, the director, Greg Berlanti, is gay. That the kid playing, I don't think we should give it out, but basically like the kid that shows up at the end is played by a queer actor. These are things that matter because for the longest time when a queer movie got made, it was usually the case of straight people making it. Straight people like,
right,
sort of like,
it's either straight people make the gay happy movie or gay people make the like sad gay movie.
It was, for a long time, it was really a matter of, like, what stories are being told. Like, how are gay characters being portrayed in sort of, like, media in general. And it was always, like, an instance of telling stories about illness, about unhappiness, which I think, these are stories that still need to be told, but they're not the only stories that represent our community, right? But it was also always like from the perspective of a straight person who really had no idea what they were talking about, directing, writing, or acting wise. It's always been stories told by straight people. So even I think more important than having these stories told, it is important to have these stories made by queer, gay, bi, trans individuals who have a lived-in understanding of what they're actually portraying on film. That absolutely, I think, needs to be a driving force and moving forward. I think that the queer cinema as a whole, queer cinema needs queer voices behind it.
Yeah, for sure. The guy who plays Simon, is he straight?
He strayed, but then I think he went to, he was on Ellen and said that his brother came out, I think, while he was making the film. Oh, wow. I don't know if as a direct product, byproduct of sort of like his brother's involvement in the film, but he is straight. I do long for the time where gay characters are played by gay people, trans characters are played by trans people, bi characters by bi actors, and so on. It needs to happen because these people, these actors, these performers, these artists exist. So we don't need straight people to approximate our experience. And I think at that point in time in the future where there's actually been forward movement and actually casting queer, I guess, artists, actors, and so on, then it'll make more sense to then have straight people, you know, take on some of these roles. And also gay people take on straight roles, which is basically what most gay closeted actors have had to do so far.
Yeah, I was about to say, which is unknown, but it's like, no, not really.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just feel like in a sense, once there's a balance, then we can negotiate who gets to play what. But because there is no balance, I do want to see queer people behind the camera, in front of the camera, telling these stories and telling really any stories they want. Just telling more stories and being afforded more opportunities to be visible as queer people making art, creating narratives. That I think is something that I really, really want to see happen next.
I would agree. And just like that involvement in like, just to have a queer aspect to every genre, not aspect, but like a queer film that's made as a genre film. I think that's really important. And I want to see it continue to spread to beyond this film.
Should we talk about the story a little bit, or I guess things that we liked about how the story was told? I feel like the component of like how the story sort of structured, that there's a spoiler at the end that makes it kind of hard to talk about what happens. But I feel like a lot of like sort of like smaller details about the story made it really worthwhile in and of itself as a teen dramedy, teen sort of like coming of age film. Does it reinvent the wheel? No, but it does a lot of sort of expected things really well, I think. I especially like the relationship between Simon and his best friend. I thought it was very well written, well acted, and I think it was very relatable in terms of like dealing with unrequited love or an unrequited crush. And I guess how it informs the friendship itself, the idea that the friendship can go on, even if, you know, there have been indiscretions or have been like unrequited feelings on the part of the two people involved.
Is it requited or requited?
Unrequited.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I feel like I heard people say it the other way and I was like, I don't know about that.
They're wrong.
They're wrong.
Yeah, we can cut this out probably. But yeah, they're wrong. Any, I guess...
Wait,
any
why would specific... we cut this out?
I don't know, because we're debating pronunciation. I'm not sure. Up to Eric. Were there like any specific junctures in the film that like really, I guess, jumped out at you?
I thought more than anything that it was just... basically a really well done genre film. So like I really think that the whole like gauntlet of he has to prevent like him coming out as an accident, not an accident, but by the other guy or whatever his name is. And so basically like that tension where it's like it basically shows like how high the stakes are of being able to come out on their own terms.
Yeah.
And I just thought kind of the whole gauntlet of like in order to figure this out yourself, you have to like fuck with your friends basically and treat them like shit.
Yeah,
that like the stakes are that high that you know he would do that and still come out as you know a good person who was doing the best he can.
Yeah, if you're willing to accept that the film is sort of like a fantasy in many ways, I think there's a lot of good to take out of it, because if you think about it, like Simon is a very privileged kid. Even with what he's dealing with, he comes from a ostensibly wealthy family with a big house, every, I guess, means to support him financially, very understanding parents who look like models. So all the sort of like expected sort of markers of the genre in a way that make the genre what it is, sort of like in that sense, maybe not the most challenging or relatable. I think we're sort of reconfigured by the fact that, you know, Simon is dealing with this as a gay kid in the closet and will need to have a coming out moment with his mom, will need to have a coming out moment with his dad, will need to have probably a big coming out moment at the school. None of that, you don't really get to negotiate any of that in movies of this sort of like genre that have like straight characters, because it's usually about a cute girl who's a bit nerdy because she has glasses on, who gets a makeover, which means the glasses are taken off and she's suddenly the most beautiful woman who's ever lived, who gets her happy ending with the jock or the equally attractive nerdy kid who's been pining after her the entire time. It is such a crystallized genre in terms of like what we have come to expect from stuff like 16 Candles and so on, that I think making a movie like Love, Simon with such, I guess, a different angle at play in it, but then also like a real effort in making characters that feel more lived in, more true to life, that in of itself makes this film, I think, worth it. As I said, I don't think it reinvents the wheel, but I think it does reframe the canon in ways that I think are worth it, are important.
Yes. That's all I got for you. I was going to say something relevant and I forgot what it was.
The other moment that I wanted to talk about was the coming out moment that Simon shares with his mom, because I think there's some comparisons to be made with Call Me By Your Name. I'm not sure if you see it or not.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the moment with Timothée Chalamet and Michael Stuhlbarg is basically the gender inverse of that. So, yeah.
She, Jennifer Garner, I think, did a really good job with that scene. There's like really two sets of emotions at play. The fact that you want to be supportive of your kid and obviously like tell your kid that they are loved no matter what, but also feeling sort of like the guilt of, I haven't been there for you through this, and I probably couldn't have been there for you through this.
Because it's
something that you needed to sort of like sort out on your own at first. And I guess as a parent, the grief and stress that causes, thinking that, you know, your kid was going through something so traumatizing or so stressful and that you could not be there for them by the very nature of what it is to come out or to sort of like come to terms with being gay and having to come out. And I think she did a really good job sort of like expressing that idea of grief and that idea of regret over something that she really had ultimately no real control over.
Yeah, I think it's a powerful statement about just the nature of eventually coming out, especially in the fact that it's an eventual process, and that no matter how good of his situation, no matter how good she was as a mother, which is ostensibly very good, that it's basically unavoidable to have like basically years of like struggle and suffering before you get to start becoming who you actually are.
Yeah, I think it was an important scene to have, because from the perspective of a parent watching this film, I think it sort of like frames what your kid is expecting from you in terms of support. I think it is a chance for maybe parents to get educated on what an appropriate reaction to the situation would be from the perspective of a parent who is sort of like externalizing those emotions, to sort of like foreground the emotional labor that is asked of a parent. I think it was a necessary scene to have. Also to communicate to parents that before your kid comes out to you, they really have to come out to themselves. And a lot of parents, I think, don't realize that. I think that scene sort of made this very clear, that it is first of all a process that involves having to come to terms with who you are for yourself and to yourself before you can actually say it to your parents or anybody else, really.
Yeah, but I still think it's an important statement of what it is to be queer as a child and have some sense of it. For everyone, like, the teenage years are an awkward time, and there's a lot of a feeling of helplessness from a lot of parents, you know, because they sense that their child is going through something intensely stressful, and, like, I think it's an important statement to say, like, yeah, you still have all that, but on top of that, if you're queer, you have, like, 10 times, because that's just the way it is.
It is a good scene to sort of, like, talk about boundaries in a way. This idea that sometimes the best way to be supportive of your kid, especially if you sense that they're going through something, is to take a step back and let them come to you instead of trying to force the conversation or try to, like, pry into their business. Boundaries, I think, are important. And they're really, I think, hard to negotiate for parents who want to make sure that their kids are fine and sometimes have no idea what's going on in their kids' lives. So it is hard to sort of negotiate this idea of boundaries and space. But I think the movie does a really good job sort of, like, cementing this idea that when your kid really needs you and needs your support, they will come to you, and to trust that that will happen. Because if you have established enough trust, a relationship of trust and sort of, like, honesty with your kids know that you're there for them when they need you to be. It is, I think, an important message to send out to parents that maybe don't really know how to sort of, like, tunnel through or negotiate this sort of situation from the point of view of their kids. If your kid is gay, he is dealing with a lot personally, emotionally, on their own. So the best thing you can do is let them come to you and let them know that regardless of anything, that you'll be supportive.
Yeah, I honestly think that message resonates, like, beyond just the queer experience, you know?
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me that, like, I feel like most parents' initial reactions to their kid doing something they don't understand is, like, fear and, like, anger, basically. And it's like, you were ostensibly the same to your parents. It's like, how do parents not be more open-minded? I don't understand that. But, I mean, to me, that's kind of a question for all people, so.
Yeah, and also, like, Simon's parents are part of this sort of, like, fairy tale depiction of what a coming out would be like for any kid. They're super supportive. They are very open. They are fairly woke in terms of, like, they're younger. And they're ostensibly very good parents across the board, right? Not just in terms of, like, dealing with Simon coming out, but also, like, parenting duties. They're very good. There's another scene where Simon comes home, like, clearly drunk. And I guess they have a brief discussion over how to feel about it. They're like, well, he came home, first of all. He was responsible. He wasn't late. So I think we can just sort of, like, let this go. It is, I think, a good exercise in what good parenting is. Also, a good presentation of a model of what good parenting is that I think does matter for people going to the movies, yeah.
And at least in this case, we're getting the positive side of things, not the worst-case scenario type thing.
There's a lot of movies that sort of, like, portray the other side of the coin, so that in this sense, I think it is important to have a positive message to counterbalance that a little bit. Those stories, as I said, and we'll always say they need to be told, need to be represented, but if they're never sort of, like, countered, it makes it seem as though that is really the only reality that exists as far as the queer experience is concerned, and it isn't. And it isn't as idyllic as Love, Simon makes it seem, but it does still represent a sense of sort of hope for kids who maybe feel lost or don't know how to approach this, to have this movie as a referent.
Yeah, it felt really good. It's just a refreshing take on that genre, and refreshing not just because it's a queer movie in that genre, but, I mean, it was just well done. Driving forces of the interactions or conflict were well thought out. I just thought the whole, like, blackmail plot was very interesting.
Yeah, that was the biggest hope that I had for this movie, that I was really rooting for this movie to just be good, beyond the sort of like queer storyline, because first of all, the stakes are different for queer movies. Obviously, there's like stakes of excellence that are almost mandatory to justify the movie's existence. But also, I just rooted for this movie to be good, to have good characters, to have good writing, to have believable situations, and I think it mostly succeeded. The blackmail stuff was just really rough.
I know.
I really wanted the kid to get like hit by like a truck. And the moment that Simon shares with this kid in the parking lot, where he very clearly tells him, there's nothing you can do because you have taken away this moment from me forever, that felt almost as good as that kid getting hit by a blimp on fire for me. I think it communicated exactly the gravity of what that kid had done to that character, but also to the audience.
I think it's sort of intentionally educating. I like that it basically explicitly says the moment of coming out is something that a queer person is entitled to, you know? That,
yes.
Like, this is something that is sacred, basically.
Yeah.
That's what the film made clear, and I think that's really important.
Yeah. And for the longest time, I just wanted some vindication, some sort of, like, a little bit of revenge. And then he got that, Simon got that really, really good moment in the parking lot, and I felt vindicated. Yeah.
I was surprised coming in that the situation was going to be as fucked up as it was. Based on the way that you described this movie to me, I was like, okay, it's going to be, like, super cheesy. And no, not really.
No.
Like, I hadn't seen, you know, a high school coming-of-age story in, like, a really long time. And came in and I was like, this is really good. So.
Yeah. It is. It has, I think, more than justified its own existence. And I think the fact that it's doing so well at the box office feels like an opportunity for more to happen, for more to follow suit, which I really, 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 really hope to see. I hope it's not like a one-time thing of this movie getting made under like a really outstanding set of circumstances. I hope it spearheads the way for more in the future.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what comes next in queer cinema, actually. I feel like talking to you makes me think about how important the last, like, 2 years have been, basically.
Yes, and it feels even more important given sort of, like, the political climate that this movement is embedded in. For this to happen now, it feels almost like queer cinema has always been political, I think, but even more so now. It feels almost like an act of resistance. I really, really want more. I want queer voices to be heard loud and clear, especially at times of distress like this one, the one that we're living in currently.
Yeah. I actually think that the political environment that they're living in is actually kind of a temporary reactionary thing, and I think that things are going to continue to move forward. I mean, I think that we'll have a new president in 2 years or whatever, and so, I really feel like the election of Trump is like an end of an era, sort of, and not an anomaly, but just a reaction to 8 years of Obama. So
I want to think and hope and conjecture that in some ways this is the end of this kind of republicanism, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure about that, but I just feel like the fact that Trump got elected feels like almost a reaction to how far forward we've moved in our culture overall. And I think that also applies to the general population's attitudes toward queer issues. So,
well, I mean, there's always like this idea of like taking one step forward and then like taking like
three steps. That's my perception backwards. Is that it's the second step back.
Yeah, it is hard, I think, on everybody. And movies like this one can make a little difference.
Yeah,
in terms of like feeling like there's voices out there that are sort of standing up against what's going on and representing people and communities and minorities that would otherwise be probably silenced or completely erased. So in that sense, queer cinema is now more than ever really a political act that we really need. Anything else that we want to talk about for Love, Simon?
I don't know. I'm not very useful in today's podcast, so I don't think I have anything else to contribute.
But your hair is fabulous. People can see it, but your
but unfortunately, hair, that doesn't come through in the audio.
Your hair is on point tonight. Yeah. I think we're good. We managed to talk about this for an hour as usual. I think what we'll do next is probably A Quiet Place. If we manage to do that next week, I think that'd be really good. I feel I at least I feel very motivated by Bearded John Krasinski to actually go and watch. It's a good sight. It's a good landscape, and yeah, and I'm happy that it's doing well, and it's a good way to put my movie pass to work.
So did you, for that reason, the John Krasinski bearded reason, did you see 13 Hours for that reason, or did you refuse to see it?
I have not seen it, but I saw the photo shoot that he did.
That's enough, basically.
I sort of like decided, am I gonna get anything more than this from the film? Probably not.
No, that was a good call.
So I was like, yes, this has happened to him. This is very good. It's a very good look. I'm happy that these pictures exist. And yeah, moving forward. Yeah. So let's shoot for I think we should shoot for A Quiet Place for at some point next week. I'm working on my Love, Simon review, which should be up the coming next few days, I think. And then yeah, Quiet Place, and maybe then one, maybe probably, I don't know, a superhero movie looks like it. But yeah, Avengers. Yes, we'll see.
And The Godfather, apparently.
We could also do, well, we're thinking about that. We need to do like more like retrospectives on like classic films. I think that'd be really, really good.
Yeah, for the record, but I mean more than anything because the reason The Godfather even got picked up was because I was texting Francesco like last Saturday, and I was like, I still haven't seen Love, Simon, but I'm watching The Godfather right now. Can we do that?
And I really do need a refresher on it. I don't think we should talk about the third one, but definitely the first two are very worth
Yeah.
it. The second one, I think many people consider even better than the first one. So
It's pretty awesome.
yeah, so it is. I think surprisingly, maybe not something I can really relate to culturally. It is a very Italian American depiction of this sort of like, I guess, narrative. But there are many scenes set in Sicily in the second one that I think are kind of nail it. So in that sense, yes, it's not something that belongs to my personal experience as an Italian-born American person, but yeah.
Well, you're not from Sicily, so.
I am not from Sicily. No. So there's that. But I have partaken enough of like Southern Italian culture to sort of like get a sense of how authentic it is or feels. And some things were done really well.
Make the mozzarella.
Well, that does not happen, but there's a lady getting shot in the chest. In a very realistic way. So yeah.
While she's making the mozzarella.
I think we're done. It's like almost 1 in the morning here. So yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just a mess, so.
All right. So thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back soon-ish with a movie about white people having to shut up for once.
And John Krasinski's beard.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.